I want to also mention just briefly, I know you, before you start the tape, just for a minute, is that, you know, we're doing these changes. Of course, then the Sunday school class, the second hour Sunday school class, will start at 11 out also. So if you're going to come to the Sunday school class at 11 o'clock after this service, I mean, it's going to come after the 9 o'clock service, you'll have fellowship time. You know, this isn't in concrete. You know, if you have a concern, if it's too late or things like that, we're not looking for concerns. But if you have a concern, you can talk to me personally. You can talk to Pastor Mark. You can talk to an elder, people on the executive board. You know, so just express. We want to hear your thoughts or something. But we feel this is a very good step to just, you know, the church sometimes has gotten to the point, I end at 10:20, the next 9:20, the next group comes in at 9:30. I ended the 8 o'clock service at 10 of 9, the next group we kind of shuffle in, shuffle out, you know, kind of cattle car. You know, we want to be a community, we don't want to have you be sheep, cattle car, you know, how's that? All right. Well, we are in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 1, and let me move the right here. And we are looking at the completion of this verse this morning of where Paul writes the theme of the book and the theme of the purpose of writing when he says to the Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we got to the middle part of the verse, and this morning we're going to look at who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, again, I want to go word by word because Paul talks about this sort of theme with other places as well, as far as blessings and all the blessings we have and the things we have in Christ. He talks about heavenly. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, he mentions heavenly places, let me see, I think 5 or 6 times, unless I'm mistaken, 4 other times, I should say. But whenever you think about blessings, let me tell you, as a Jew, there's a very, very famous passage that talks about blessings. And I want to go over it with you. It's an Old Testament passage in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to go through this. We're going to spend a few minutes on this. But I want to show you just a juxtaposition, which is looking at one thing on this side, looking at the other thing, and seeing where would you rather be. This is the children of Israel going in the land of promise. And this is what God says to them about how he wants to bless them and the way he wants to bless them. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to spend a little time reading this. Look what he says. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, again, we're talking about every spiritual blessing. Here are blessings. Blessed shall be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowls. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you 7 ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you put to your hands to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouses, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn away from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So that's very encouraging. He's going to bless your bodies. He's going to bless your bows. He's going to bless your barns. Of course, these are things that they visually, I mean, they didn't have cars. They didn't have stock markets. They didn't have the houses that we have nowadays. And of course, people, a lot of people take these verses and say, look, this is what you're going to get. You're going to have stock market. You're going to have this. You're going to have your houses. You're going to have your dreams. You're going to have your vision. You're going to have this. Okay. We'll talk about it. After this, God begins a new process. And now he says this, let's read on. But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in your country. Exactly what you are going to be blessed, I'm going to curse. It's the same mirror image. The exact verses and the exact order that he says of you being blessed, you're going to be cursed. Cursed shall the offspring of your body and the produce of the ground and the increase of the herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do. Until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. You want to know what side you want to be on already? I mean, until you are destroyed. Ooh, my word. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and the fiery heat and with the sword and with the blight and with the mildew. And they will pursue you until you perish. The heavens is over your head shall be bronze and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them, and you will be the example of terror to all the kingdoms on the earth. Remember before it says, the enemies are going to come one way, and you're going to scatter them seven ways? Well, guess what? The enemies are going to come one way, and you're going to scatter seven ways. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tremor and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. And you want to know how he ends the whole thing? The Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships. Here I brought you out of, I'm going to get you back to Egypt in ships. You'll still get back to darkness and back to idols and back to slavery. By the way which I spoke to you, you will never see it again. And there you will offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. You're going to try to just offer yourself as slaves to the people and they won't even have an interest in you. Now, if you look at this passage, which is 68 verses long, 43 verses are curses and 13 verses are blessings. There are three times more curses than there are blessings. Now there's a problem with this passage. The problem with this passage is when we talk about all these blessings, is that they're all earthly. They're all earthly. They're all about your kneading bowl, and they're about your body, and they're about your barns, and they're about your flock, and they're all earthly. They're all temporal. They're all temporal. They're only for a short time. We're like a vapor. We're here for a short time and then we're gone. But the worst thing about this is that it's all conditional. You know how many times he said, if you obey the word. And if, I tried to emphasize that once or twice. If you do this. Well, you know what happened? They didn't do it. You know why? Because we cannot do it. We cannot obey all the commandments of the Lord. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. And Paul tells us the reason God gave them these laws was to realize they could not save themselves, they could not bring about their salvation, and they would turn to the redemption which God would send in the coming of the one who would ultimately be Jesus Christ. Amen? So here we have all these blessings, and then we have all these curses, all temporal, all earthly, all dependent on human effort. Human effort. Human effort. Human effort. Well, what does Paul say? First of all, Paul says in this passage that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It doesn't say material blessing. It doesn't. It doesn't talk about your dreams and your vision and your goals and your stock market and your money and your barns. It's spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing is what we have in Christ. So anybody that talks to you about earthly blessings, temporal blessings, these blessings is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. You want to go back to the Old Testament? You go. You go. You want to live under that economy and that covenant? You go. So the first thing is that there's no material blessings. In fact, Paul says, though my outward man is decaying, yet inwardly I'm renewed day by day. Why? Because outwardly I'm going to die and rot and end up with nothing. Because I'm just temporal. The temporal man decays, but the inward person, the soul, the spirit, the spiritual power, that is being renewed day by day. Why? Because Paul was saying we've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. The other thing I want to mention about this is that notice that he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, we're going to talk about what that means, every spiritual blessing, in a moment, but I'm just emphasizing it. Paul could have said, who has blessed us with every blessing? Couldn't he have? Couldn't he have? But isn't as Paul, as Jesus says, every word, that God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept, he tells us, he should have said who has blessed us with every blessing, every spiritual blessing. Paul would correct you and me. Oh, Sam, it's a spiritual blessing. And it's, by the way, who has blessed us, not who will bless us. Who has blessed us. It's past tense. It's yours. It's there. Now think for a minute, who was writing this book? Who wrote these words? The Apostle Paul. And where was he? In jail. In jail. He was about to have his head cut off. Let me show you a couple examples of how these people lived, knowing they had these kind of truths in their lives and their heart. Here's the Apostle Paul and Silas, and you know the story. They've been arrested in Philippi for preaching the gospel and Jesus Christ. And it's pretty blatant. It's all about Jesus Christ. They arrested them and they put them in the dungeon of the Roman prison. And they had struck them with many blows. They threw them in prison. So they struck them with many blows. Any of you ever been struck for Jesus Christ? You look at a TV preacher and says, has that person ever been struck for Jesus Christ? I want to know about one time. Have you ever been hit for Jesus Christ? My father almost hit me for Jesus Christ, but he didn't hit me. He wanted to hit me. He wanted to kill me. He said, my father said, Sam, if I'd know you'd follow Jesus Christ and become a Christian, I would have taken a butcher knife and killed you the day you were born. Jesus Christ, that's what it did. Now, if I said, oh, I love God and I want to follow God. Oh, I want to be wonderful to God. My father would have said, wonderful, wonderful. God. Blessed be the God and Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stock. Inner prison, probably solitary confinement. Nothing there. Think of the moisture there. Think of the inner prison. Think of the dew there. Think of the humidity there. Think of no, it's all dark. There's nothing there. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. What? What? They're singing hymns. They're praising God. Why? Because we have, not we will get, not I've got a dream, not I got to imagine, not I got to get a goal. I have now in prison every blessing in Jesus Christ. I may be in prison, but Jesus is free. I may be in chains, but Jesus is salvation. I may be condemned to death, but I have eternal life. I may be abused, but I know freedom. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. Who did it? He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. Who loved me? He loved me before I knew him, and all my life is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. That hymn writer knew what we're talking about. You know what I just sang to you? Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. This guy's in prison. Well, you got to think, Paul, what an example. You got to get out there, Paul. You got to dream dreams. You got to think positively. You're so negative. You're not thinking it right. You've got this wrong. That's lies. It's lies. And the prisoners were listening to them. The reason the Apostle Paul could be in the stink bed of this prison and praising Jesus Christ and singing hymns and praising God at midnight is because he said, I have every blessing in Christ. Let them kill me. I'm saved and have eternal life. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's how people could kiss those pylons that they were going to be burnt at the stake. They did that. Read Latimer in England. He kissed it. This is the day when I will see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you want to talk about positive thinking? Let me show you another example. This is Peter. Peter has been arrested, and he's going to be brought out to be crucified the next day. This is the pillar of the church, Acts chapter 12. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him, that's Peter, forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. Now, let me ask you a question. If you knew tomorrow you were going to die, right now, if you knew this, think of it for a minute. God forbid. But if you knew tomorrow you were going to have an accident, you knew it, nothing was going to avoid it, or something physically was going to happen to you, and in 48 hours we're planning your funeral, 24 hours we're planning your funeral, what would you do tonight? Would you sleep like a baby? What would you do tonight? I'm asking you a question. Don't answer. What would you do tonight if you knew tomorrow? Here's Peter sleeping. Well, he was probably so exhausted. He's sleeping. And two soldiers are bound with him with chains. He's not leaving. And a guard in front of the door was watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared as a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. Here is Peter in such a sleep, such a rest, that an angel comes and the light illuminates it. And Peter still doesn't get up. You know what? Some of you hear a little hummingbird flitter by your window at 4:30 in the morning and you're awake. Right? Right? Here is a light of a heavenly being, and he's fast asleep. And suddenly then he's got to kick him. Get up! Get up! What? What? Why? Because Peter wrote about having every blessing in Christ. Every blessing in Christ. Peter woke up and saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so, and he went forth. I think there may be one more thing here. Wrap your clothes around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. My friend, you may say, listen to this. You may say, I don't feel this. I don't feel this strength. My friend, it doesn't depend on what you feel. Can I repeat again what I repeated last week? Could you say that a person that's right now in prison in China, that maybe tomorrow their life will be taken away doing an execution or a firing squad, does that person now have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Absolutely. Does Avis Harshberger, who may not be with us in 48 hours, has no family, no friends, no husband, no horse, no anything? Think of it. Nothing. Nothing. I don't know who does her, how we do her funeral. Who does anything? Does she have every blessing in Christ? Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Is a person in abject poverty with 1,000 flies on their face, and that person has Jesus Christ, that person now has every spiritual blessing in Christ? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because it's not dependent upon you. You may say, I don't feel it. That's the point. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent on Christ. Forgiveness is dependent on the work of Christ. The resurrection of the dead is dependent on the work of Christ. Grace and peace is given to us based upon the work of Christ. And that is, I told you before, it's what we don't get. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your positive thinking and your dreams and your goals. It's not about you. You may feel weak, my brothers and sisters, but Jesus is strong. And he's not getting weak. You may feel like you're falling apart, but he's not falling apart. Jesus is not falling apart. You may feel depressed, but Jesus has a victory. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. That's the power of those words. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why do we have to deceive ourselves and make ourselves into little gods? Why do we have to deceive ourselves? It's a pure self-deception. And make ourselves into little gods. My health, my strength, my vision, my goals, my happiness, my blessings, my this, my that, my this. You're deifying yourself. You are deifying a speck of dust. In fact, look what Paul said. Paul is saying, he's talking to the Lord about an issue he had, a problem he had, and he prayed to the Lord about it. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. Now, he didn't just say 3 mornings and 20 seconds. Lord, take this away. Thank you. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Amen. What's on dinner next morning? Take this away from me. I mean, you know, you can imagine the Apostle Paul. He prayed fervently, maybe fasted, spent hours, maybe for a week, did nothing but ask God that he would remove this thorn that he had. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Weakness. We don't talk about weakness. We talk about strength. We talk about will. We talk about my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, I would rather boast about my weakness. What? Oh, no. Weakness. No. You don't show weakness. No. You see, the whole idea of weakness is the survival of the fittest. You see, if you're in the animal world and you show any weakness, then they smell out, oh, he's weak. He's weak. The caribou, oh, they're weak. The wolves looking for that weak caribou, they're weak. Oh, no, you don't show weakness. You got to be strong. You got to show your strength. You got to think positively. That's lies. I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. My friend, you may feel weak, but Jesus is strong. That's all Paul is saying. I'll go around with my thorn in the flesh, which some people think he was going blind. Blind. He couldn't see anymore. He couldn't be able to write anymore. He could dictate, but he was blind. And ultimately, you know, he said, I'd rather be blind and handicapped and a physical cripple. Because Jesus Christ is not handicapped, and he ain't no cripple, and he's whole. And you know something? Because he's whole, I will be whole. I would listen to these words. I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is, it is so, you won't hear anybody preach about that. I am content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. Paul, you gotta rewrite all this. This is way too negative. This is not, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. In fact, some people could translate this, when I am weak, he is still strong. Because my life is Christ. So let me give you three examples. Every spiritual blessing. Think of life, physical life. Think of the miracle of birth. The miracle of birth. I don't know if my wife and the daughter yesterday went to see this movie, March of the Penguins. Have you heard about this movie, March of the Penguins? It's really miraculous, amazing. These penguins, I mean, it's a G movie, all this nature. It's just miraculous. And how these penguins do all this stuff for the sake of giving life to the next generation of penguins. I mean, my mouth was just, what a great God. Now, if you want to think that an ape was your grandfather, you go ahead. I'd rather think an almighty God is my father. If you want to think you came from a monkey, then you can do that. No, that's what evolution is. We came from monkeys. Go ahead. If you think the monkey is your grandfather, go ahead. I'd rather think that a brilliant, intelligent, almighty being made me. That's what I think. So anyway, how did I get to that? All right. So the miracle of birth. Think of the miracle of birth. Think of that, you know, David said, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Then think about how you grew up or how you were nourished in your life, how you learned things, how you assimilated things. Think about your life of working things. The same thing happens spiritually. Think of the miracle of spiritual birth. Think that once you were slaves to sin and once you were following the devil and everything, and suddenly everything's changed. I've been a new creature. I'm born again. The miracle of spiritual birth. The miracle of spiritual birth. And then think about when it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Think of spiritual nourishment. Think of how God has fed you and nourished you spiritually, every step of the way, through church, through the Bible, through friends, through providence, through a book, through a hymn, through prayer, through a mission conference, through a mission trip. Think of the way God is nurturing us, building us up, teaching, guiding us, giving us spiritual life. I mean, it's miraculous. And then think how much God teaches us. Think about going to school. School, not just giving us things to feed upon, but to learn things, to see Christ in everything, to know Christ in everything. To know Christ, Paul said, that I may know him. Think about serving Christ, living for Christ, honoring Christ, giving for Christ. Think of that. All of that is wrapped up with every spiritual blessing. Your spiritual birth, your spiritual nourishment, your spiritual instruction, your spiritual life, and eventually your spiritual death, physical death, if I could say that, spiritual death, I should say that. God is preparing you for death, because in death is victory, in death. And all of those things along the way are all these blessings, every spiritual blessing. For as many are the promises of God, in Christ they are yes. Therefore, also through Christ is the amen to the glory of God through us. I love the King James. All of God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All of God's promises. How many promises do we have? Thousands, tens of thousands. They're all in Christ. But you know what's wonderful about this passage? And that is, and Paul always does this, Paul always gives us the answer for what he's talking about. Because I've heard so many people go on, what are every spiritual blessing and the temporal blessings in the Old Testament? It's right here. All the spiritual blessings are here. The next 10 verses are all the powerful spiritual blessings that we have. Look what he says. Spiritual blessing number one, verse 4. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God chose you before there was the world. Before you were even a blink of the eye, God already had his mind upon you and seal upon you and designed for you. What? I mean, you want to talk about your barn? You want to talk about your stock market? You want to talk about your sheep and your lambs? And you want to talk about the mold you got on your hand? Let me talk about something more cosmic here. Every spiritual blessing. By the way, another spiritual blessing, verse 5. You've been predestined as sons through adoption through Jesus Christ. God predestined you as adoption. Now let me start off by saying this. These are not my words. This is God's words, by the way. I didn't make up these words, by the way. He predestined us as adoption. What Paul does is he delineates the spiritual blessings. He literally now lists all these spiritual blessings. That's what Ephesians 1 is. You know, people always said that Paul writes about in Philippians, I know the secret of being full and the secret of being content. Oh, what's the secret? It's a secret. He doesn't tell. There's a secret. Sure, he tells us the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret. That's what he's doing here. Every spiritual blessing, Paul says, I'm not going to let you guess. I'm going to tell you what all these blessings are. You've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ according to himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he bestowed upon us. This has been bestowed upon us, given to us, laid upon us in Jesus Christ. Let's read on. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's another spiritual blessing. Forgiveness, guilt, peace, tranquility. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, all these thousands of verses because of the redemption we have through his blood. That's a spiritual blessing. Let's read on. Which he lavished on us. How do you like that word? You know, Paul is great. He loves these words. The love of God has been poured upon us. You know how sometimes people think about the love of God? That God has a little eyedropper. And here's this big sea of the love of God, and God dips his eyedropper, and he says, okay, Sam, you better be good. Oh, you're not good yet. No. Oh, that was something good. Here, bink, here's a little drop for you. Which God poured out upon us in Christ. Why? Because it's in Christ. Look what he said. He lavished on us. He bestowed upon us. I mean, listen to these words. Lavish on us. Why? Because it's not up to me. It's not up to me. It's him. Let's read on. There's more. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention. He made known to us the mystery of his will. God's plan has been shown to us. You know what the study of the whole Bible is? Whenever you read the Bible and you go like this, wow. God is letting you know what he's going to do and what he did. Wow. Thank you. Wow. Wow. You know, like I told you in creation. Wow. Look at this. Wow. Look at this. Look at this in Christ. Look at this. Look at the book of Revelation. Wow. God said, I want them to know everything. I have come and made known to you. Jesus said this. I've given them your words. If you don't know the word of God, my friend, you're in darkness. If you don't read the Word of God, you're in darkness. This is the light. In thy word is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. This is God telling you his will, the mystery of his will. Thank you. Wow. Let's read on. With a view of the administration suitable to the fullness of all times, that is, summing up of all things in Christ. Wow, you want a blessing there? Summing up of all things in Christ. Let's read on. We have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. What did you inherit when your father died, your mother died? What did you inherit? Well, let me tell you what you inherit from your heavenly father. You want to talk about a barn? You want to talk about stock market? You want about going to Hawaii? You want to talk about going to the Caribbean? Let me talk to you about spiritual blessings, according to the purpose which he did at the counsel of his will. In him, after listening to the message, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed. It's secure. You were sealed. They are in my hand, and I am in the Father's hand, and no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. I belong to Almighty God. I mean, these are spiritual blessings. Adoption, predestination, chosen, forgiveness, inheritance, pledges, sealed, lavished, bestowed, summing up. So that's every spiritual blessing. Then he says to us, Ephesians 1:3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, first of all, let me tell you that if you have a good Bible, the word places should either not be there or it should be in italics. Every time, this is only done for translation. There's no word for places. In fact, it should read, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. In the heavenlies in Christ. But then they seem to say that, well, there's this place called the heavenlies, which I understand, but it makes a little bit of a confusion here. It's in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, let me show you why I think it's important to point this out. You know, when Jesus was praying, look what he says here in John 17, verse 3. In fact, let me go back for a minute. You know I've done this before. If I was to take a poll this morning and I'd say to you, what is eternal life? And you'd say, well, eternal life means you never die. That's a nice answer, but it's wrong. You'd say, well, eternal life is going to heaven. That's a nice answer, but it's wrong. Eternal life means I'm forgiven. That's a nice answer, but it's wrong. Jesus told us what is eternal life. In John 17, 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not a place, it's a person. It's a person. It's a person. And notice Paul says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, not places, in the heavenlies, in Christ. In Christ. So the point is that heaven is not a place, heaven is a person. That they may see me where I am, Jesus said. He didn't talk about heaven. That they behold my glory. They didn't talk about heaven. We shall see him as he is. That's not about heaven. That's about the person. All of Christianity is about a person. Salvation is about a person. The resurrection is about a person. Heaven is about a person. Eternal life is about a person. And that person is Christ. That person is Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the bright and all those things. Now let me show you that Paul mentions four times, other times, these words. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength in his might which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The word places is not there, but notice what he says there. Who seated us at the right hand in the heavenly, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. I mean, get the picture here. You think President Bush has some ability and power. You think a ruler like Herod has some ability and power. Remember, he says, I have authority to crucify you. And Jesus says, you don't have any authority to crucify me. Any authority you have has been given to you from above. Why? Because there is the authority ultimately from above. Look, and Jesus is at the right hand in the heavenly. And you want to get this perspective? Far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion on every name. That's a perspective, isn't it? Let's read on. Ephesians 2:6. We've been raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Believe it or not, because I am in Christ and I have blessings in Christ, and I've been placed in Christ, and all everything I have is in Christ, wherever Christ is, that's where I am. I mean, Paul said that. Raised us up with him. Well, Paul, you're not raised up, you're down here. Duh. Are you dumb? Are you dumb? You don't understand? It's not about me. It's about him. Well, you're in the prison. You're being beheaded. It's not about me. It's about him. Get your dreams. Get your goals. You're a terrible example. Envision you're outside of this prison and you're dancing among the lilies and you're going out trancing around with beautiful flowers and beautiful. How stupid. That's about me. It's not about me. It's about him. And if Christ is raised, I'm raised. And if Christ is seated, I'm seated. And if Christ's in the heavenlies, I'm in the heavenlies. You'd say, is this man an idiot? No, my friend, he's obsessed with the person of Jesus Christ. Look, I mean, can I read these words? Raised us up with him and I don't feel raised. I don't feel seated. My friend, it's not about you. It's about him. Let's read on. So that the manifold wisdom of God may now be made known to the church, the rulers, and the authorities in the heavenlies. Look, the wisdom of God might be made known through us, through all the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. Now, that's another perspective. Notice that the God's wisdom has been made known to us, this great plan, this great salvation, and this is made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. You mean there are other rulers and other authorities beside earthly rulers and earthly authorities in the heavenlies? Yes. There are rulers and authorities in the heavenly places that you have no idea what's going on. But I know who's in charge of it all, and I know who has all the authority and the power. And then I want to show you the last verse, which Paul really blows it. Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. My friend, this is bigger than you and me. This is bigger than you and me. And you think you've got the resources to tackle this? You think your little pea brain and your little postage stamp and your little will and your little car and your little vision, you've got the resources? Who do you think you are? I'm not adequate for this. Who can fight sin and darkness and principalities? Look, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers in the heavenlies. My friend, let Jesus Christ handle that problem for you. You can handle it. You're not sufficient. Paul would say, who's sufficient for these things? I'm not. I don't want to get into this. I'm sending Jesus Christ to do it. He's going to do the fighting for me. He's going to do the victory for me. He's going to accomplish it for me. He's going to tackle sin and death and the devil and all these principalities and powers. And he's the one that could say to me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's why Paul could say, if God is for us, who can be against us? You're not adequate for these things. You're deifying yourself. You're deluding yourself. You're becoming egomaniac. This preaching is all egomaniac. You're making yourselves into little messiahs. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Be strong where? In the Lord. And in the strength of his might. No, they'd say, finally, be strong and strength and vision and positive thinking and goals. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20. Luke 10. Remember, they came back and there were demons. There were demons. I won't read it. Go back. The apostles came back and says, the demons are subject to us. We've been able to cast out demons. Wow, what power we've received. And you know what Jesus says? Don't let it go to your head. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Because my friend Peter, in a few days, you're going to be a rotten corpse. You're going to be crucified. In a matter of time, you're going to all die for my sake. You ain't going to be doing any more casting out. And it won't matter what you did. It's going to matter what I did. Because it's about me. It's not about you. Don't let it be about you. Remember? Peter was worried about John and how long he was going to live. And Peter is upset. And Peter goes to Jesus. And Jesus finally turns and says, it's not about you, Peter. Don't worry about you. If I want you to die, you die. If I want you to live, you live. It's not about you. It's about me. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. How could this man write this? Because I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. I mean, this is cosmic. And you want to talk about a finite barn and a finite you and a finite lamb and temporal and earthly and if, you know, the whole idea is, you know, you gotta think positively now. You gotta think positively to get out of that prison, Paul. You gotta think positively of having that thorn in the flesh, Paul. You gotta think, my friend, if you rot, Jesus is not gonna rot. If you fail, Jesus is not gonna fail. It's not about you. Paul says it's about him. And you know, if it's all about him, oh man. I am the most blessed man on the earth, Paul would say. And then the last thing I want to mention is that it's about in Christ. Now I'm going to give you a little example. You're going to look for a job. And you're going to go to Boeing, let's say. And you decided that you're going to be interviewed at Boeing, and they interview you, and they look favorably upon you, and they say, Mr. John Smith, you've been hired at Boeing. Oh, wonderful. And your salary will be this. Okay. Maybe it's not what I expected, but okay, that's good. And oh, by the way, Mr. Smith, you have 4 weeks vacation. Oh, okay. And you have complete medical care. Okay, really? Yes. And you have complete dental care. Oh, yes. And you have a 401k. We'll put in money for your retirement. Yes. And you will have a pension. Yes. And you will have eyeglass care. Oh, yes. Well, how did he get all these benefits? He got in Boeing, right? The point I want to bring out is notice in Ephesians 1, Paul uses one word twice, in, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly, in Christ. There's a position here. There's a position. So you see, when you look at a company and you get all these benefits, how are these benefits yours? You got to get in the company, right? The same thing here. It sounds so crass, but it's, I mean, just think. Think of all the things that these companies have to offer you. You know, if you ever go up to Microsoft in the North Pacific Northwest, I was there the first time in 1995. And you know that in 1995, at that time when I was in the Pacific Northwest, Bill Gates and Microsoft had created 2 billionaires and 100 millionaires in the Seattle area because of the people's benefits of being at Microsoft when it all began. Because Bill Gates didn't have money to give the people, he gave them stocks. Now they say there's probably about 8 billionaires and probably over 1,000 or 1,500 millionaires. That's pretty good in Microsoft, right? It's an analogy. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's not in your mind. It's not in your will. It's not in your attitude. It's not in that. My friend, if you don't mention Jesus Christ, and you're not obsessed with Jesus Christ, all you're going to be left with is your own dreams and efforts and temporal desires. Can I repeat that again? If you don't mention Jesus Christ, all you're left up with is your efforts, your ideas, your temporal desires, your goals, your ambitions. But my friend, you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You're not going to have any spiritual blessings in your life except it's going to come through the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to repeat that again. You are never, never, never. Now, you may get some blessings, but they may end up being very temporal. They may last for 20 years, whatever the case may be. But you're not going to have any spiritual blessings except it's going to always and only come through one place, that is through the person of Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, we're going to start to look at the first of these 10 or so blessings, who chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You gave Your Son, You sent Your Son, You accomplished a great salvation in Your Son. And we're thankful, Father, that it's not dependent upon us, our effort, our ideas, our scheming, our wills. We thank You that it's all dependent upon Him. We've put all of our eggs in His basket. Our confidence is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, encourage us. Encourage us each personally, whether it's our families, our homes, our lives, our health, our situations, our finances, our homes, our children. Help us, Lord, to be able to look at all this through these great truths of spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, bless Your people. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, until Jesus comes again, as He surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are